Welcome to episode 64 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. So, why do so many of the large planets we have observed have such eccentric orbits? I hope you're not expecting a definitive answer. I spent all day looking it up, and there's no clear winner. There are theories such as maybe close encounters with other stars perturb the systems. Perhaps it's the way that they formed. I have an article on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Bear in mind that this article is from 2001, and only a few exoplanets had been discovered at that time. They pointed out that Jupiter seems a bit larger than it should be, given the amount of time it had to form. The protoplanetary disks that have been observed to have relatively short lifetimes, lasting a maximum of a few million years, before they collapse into planets and otherwise get blown away from their star's solar wind. The most accepted model of gas giant formation is called core accretion, where the first thing that happens is rocky cores form until they have enough gravity to start attracting the lighter elements, hydrogen and helium. And over a long period of time, they build up a very large gaseous atmosphere. Except this process takes millions and millions of years. So that if you want a Jupiter-sized planet, or some of the super Jovians, planets much larger than Jupiter that have been observed, there may not be enough time. An alternative hypothesis is called disk instability, where local concentrations of dust and gas can form in the disk until they have enough gravity to pull in even more dust and gas, with no core being necessary. The advantage to this theory is that they form much faster, so that you would expect to find Jovian and super Jovian planets around our star and other stars much more often, which is consonant with what we have observed. In addition, the disk instability model is more chaotic than core accretion, so you can end up with rather eccentric orbits. The information we need to find out whether Jupiter formed by core accretion or disk instability, or perhaps some sort of hybrid of the two, is being gathered right now by the Juno mission, which arrived on July 4th of 2016 and is currently orbiting Jupiter, collecting data. On the show page, along with that article, are several other articles where they have modeled the interaction of various planets. And they found things like eccentric planets causing some of the orbits to become nearly circular, at least for a time, and causing some planets to flip over on their axis, so they end up rotating in the opposite direction that they were. That last bit is interesting. We do have a couple of planets that rotate in a retrograde motion. If you look down from the north pole of the Sun, just about everything in our system circles counterclockwise. This is the direction all of the planets go around the Sun. But a couple of them, spinning around their own axis, spin the opposite direction. That includes Venus and Uranus. There are alternate theories, other than interactions with the gravitation of different planets, to explain that, including tidal forces in the case of Venus, or a large impact, and large impacts with the planet Uranus by Earth-sized bodies. Some of the theories suggest only one, but don't explain why its moons orbit in the same direction as Uranus spins, while others expect several impacts to have happened over time, so that the moons would form by material ejected, spinning in the same direction. Venus seems to have been flipped over entirely, whereas Uranus has its poles pointing almost towards the Sun, just a little further over. One last note on these strange chaotic forces and various computer models. If there really is a Planet 9, also called Planet X, out there, and we have reasons to suspect it but have not yet observed it, take a look at episode 55 for more details. It is a planet with an eccentric orbit. In regards to the rare Earth hypothesis, see episode 59, that's actually a hopeful sign if we really do have a large planet in an eccentric orbit. It suggests that even when we observe large planets with eccentric orbits around other stars, it doesn't necessarily preclude other planets around the same star that have largely stable, nearly circular orbits. As we discussed in the last episode, that may be a prerequisite for the occurrence of complex life. Next time, the moon.